Let us sing to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 71, Psalm 71 and verses 1 to 6. We shall sing these opening five stanzas. O Lord, my hope and confidence is placed in thee alone. Then let thy servant never be put to confusion. We sing these verses 1 to 6, Psalm 71. Now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are encouraged by our Lord Jesus Christ to pray always and not to faint. We are encouraged to come to God as our Father. We are encouraged to pray constantly for God's holy name to be set apart, sanctified for a holy use. For God's kingdom to come upon the earth as it is reigning in heaven. For God's will to be done upon the earth as also it is done in heaven. We pray for God's will to be understood by us, to be embraced by us, to be endured by us when it would clash with our will and our desire and our consolations and comforts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would have the Holy Spirit in order to be led by the Spirit of God as the sons of God. We pray for the Holy Spirit in order that we might pray properly. He is the Spirit of prayer and of supplication. He is the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of power, the Spirit who brings convictions to our hearts, and who brings conversion to our lives, born again of the Holy Spirit, is the clear teaching of the Scriptures. And so as we come again this morning to pray, help us to remember that this is a holy day and a blessed day, a day in which we are to enjoy our God, and learn today what our occupation will be in heaven, to enjoy God forever. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would come hearing God's word in all its invitations and in all its instructions, in all its prohibitions and precepts, in all the consolations it gives, in all its warnings, that we would recognize that the voice of God is in the reading of the scripture and the preaching of the word, insofar as that preaching is accurate and consistent with the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. It is God's voice speaking to us in our own language, in terms that we can understand out of human experience, the sharing together in the giving and the receiving of the word. And we pray that as we come now to pray, that we would also come to praise. Help us, Lord our God, we pray, to have a happy disposition towards God, to take pleasure in holy things, to take pleasure in God's name, to delight as the psalmist did in doing God's will, in reading and applying God's word. Help us, we pray, O God, to take pleasure in all that God has done for us, to take pleasure in living, to take pleasure in being a creature, to take no pleasure in being a sinner, but to take pleasure in being God's children, believers in Christ. O God, how privileged we are to know the gospel, how privileged we are to believe the gospel. At times it seems to us to be so ordinary, so commonplace, so accustomed are we to the things of the gospel that they surround us with ordinariness almost. And yet we read the scriptures and we find that there is nothing ordinary about the gospel. Everything about it is extraordinary. Everything about it is supernatural as well as historical. And everything about the gospel is redemptive. Never condemnation. The gospel is not a message of condemnation. It is a message of reconciliation, redemption, a message of deliverance from death and experiencing the reality of everlasting life. We know that sin is the terrible background against which the gospel is seen and revealed in the scriptures. We recognize that the tragedy of our fall into sin is the somber and deadly background against which the light of the gospel shines. Walking in darkness, we see a great light, the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, the light of God's love, the light of the life that is to be lived by faith alone, the life of God in the souls of his people. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that the gospel is an accomplished and a finished work. Not simply something that needed to be done, but something that has been done. Something that is ongoing only in the sense of its continual application, and something that is going to be done in its consummation. But the message of the gospel is a message of a divine accomplishment. And when we read of God's love for us, we read of it referring primarily to something that has already been accomplished in the past. God so loved the world. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son. This is love. God's love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is love. This is where we see love historically rooted and accomplished and written down in the scriptures for all time and for all nations, so that everywhere when men call upon the name of the Lord, we may know what is in store for us, not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own grace and mercy he has saved us, with the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel. O God, may we never wander away from it. May we never emphasize other things. May we not focus so much upon ourselves and our doings and upon the church and its doings and its not doings. May we focus our attentions and our affections upon what God has done, as the psalmist of old. In more than one place we find in the Psalms the great things that the Lord has done for us, whereof we are glad. Always it is the doing of the Lord. The Lord's right hand does wondrous things. And so we come to give thanks also that we are alive today, that the word of God is in our hands and in our ears, and that the word of God can never be silenced. It will never be removed from the face of the earth. It is here to stay, the living and the abiding word of God, which endures forever, written and spoken. And it is planned by God that this gospel will be preached in all the world before Christ comes back again. And so we are glad, O God, for the long duration before he comes, for the long suffering and the long enduring patience of God before the end comes, giving time, giving opportunities, giving centuries and millennia of time, in order that this word of the gospel will go into the world, to all the nations, and the word of the Lord will increase and bring in a rich increase, a rich harvest at the end, a great number which no man can number. This is the future of the church, O God. May we be part of that glory. May we be amongst that great assembly in the last, when the church of God, perfected at last, will be presented as a beautiful bride to her husband, without spots and wrinkles or any such things that mark us now, but finally presented in all the glory and in all the gracious glory of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church that he builds his way. And so we come to pray, we come to praise, we come to make intercession for ourselves, for others, for our families. Lord, there are so many things we could spend all day. Lord, you know. So we present our prayers, the prayers of our hearts, the prayers of our lips. And all for God's glory we pray these things. And all for God's glory help us, Lord, to gather here now around the word. And always and only in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to read some verses, indeed the whole of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're coming again to the first letter of Paul to Timothy, and we're reading in chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will to be, desiring to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto you, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, knowledge, oppositions of knowledge, imagined knowledge, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And so ends Paul's first letter to Timothy. The notices are as basic as you can get them, really. The afternoon service at 4:30, our midweek meeting again at 7 p.m, and the usual hours, 10:30 a.m, 4:30 p.m, next Lord's Day, and it is anticipated that they shall be recorded messages also. And so we welcome you and we invite you to join with us on these occasions to hear once again the word of the Lord. And we remind you of the offerings for the Lord's work. Well, we're going to continue now to sing in Psalm 71. And from verse number 7, we sing to verse 13. Psalm 71. At verse 7, to many I a wonder am, but thou art my refuge strong. Filled let my mouth be with thy praise and honour all day long. To verse number 13.